Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Here I Am. Here's Lou Dawson with our scripture reading.
I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, in the New Revised Standard Version. Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am. And ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, Here I am. Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In early 1960, Ruby Nell Bridges was one of six young black children to pass the test which would determine whether or not they could attend an all-white elementary school. Despite performing well on the test, two of those six children chose to remain in their existing schools, and three of them opted to attend another school, McDonough No. 19, leaving young Ruby Bridges as the sole agent of integration at William Franz Elementary School, New Orleans, Louisiana. On November the 14th of that year, Bridges and her mother were escorted into her new school by four federal marshals. Reports suggest that the two spent most of the day in the principal's office because of the chaos that was ensuing all around them. There were threats on Ruby's life. There were real consequences that her family faced. People threatened to poison her food, and one white woman showed up outside the school to protest, holding up a black baby doll in a coffin. All the teachers in the school, except for one, boycotted, refusing to teach any students at all while a black child was on the rolls. Ruby's father lost his job as a result of his participation in the efforts to integrate the schools, putting his entire family, including Ruby and her four younger siblings, into financial turmoil. The grocery store where the Bridges family were used to buying their food refused to serve them, and Ruby's grandparents, who were sharecroppers in another state, were forced off their land. all because a little black girl went to a white elementary school. These consequences and threats might have deterred many of us from persisting in this endeavor. But thankfully, that wasn't the case for young Ruby Bridges and her parents. When the call came out from the NAACP, Ruby's mother, Lucille, volunteered their family, not only because she wanted a better education for her daughter, but because she wanted to take this step forward for all African American children. Lucille Bridges understood that the risk was great. She knew that there would be trouble, and yet she still answered the call because she understood the bigger picture, and she wanted her family to do their part. Whatever little thing they could do to make things right for all those who were suffering the heavy yoke of segregation. As young Ruby took those famous steps outside her new school, she answered the call to participate in something bigger than herself, saying not just words with her mouth, but also with her feet, "Here I am." In the scripture reading from today, Samuel was also pretty young. He was young when he first heard the voice of God calling in the night. The scripture says he was just a boy ministering under Eli, the chief priest, and that he did not yet know the voice of the Lord. In fact, when he heard his name called, "Samuel, Samuel," he was sleeping in the temple, but he left and ran into Eli's room to see what his teacher wanted. Three times this happened. And each time Samuel responded with the Hebrew phrase, "Hineni," which translates, "Here I am." It's a term repeated throughout Scripture as faithful people say yes to God's call. Abraham says, "Hineni," when God summons him to bring Isaac up to the mountaintop as a sacrifice. Jacob says, "Hineni," when God calls him home to face his brother Esau, whom he'd cheated out of the inheritance. Moses says, "Hineni," when God calls him back to Egypt to liberate his people. Isaiah says, "Hineni," when God gives him a word of prophetic judgment to proclaim in the ears of the king. "Here I am." "Hineni" is a brave and courageous thing to say to God, at least if we are paying attention to the stories of Scripture, at least if our ancestors have anything to say about it. And if we heed those words of Scripture and remember those who have faithfully led the way, it seems that saying, "Here I am," will lead us down a path of change and discomfort, a path of resistance and sacrifice, a path of recognizing that our own personal well-being and gain pales in comparison to God's kingdom, which is trying to break through. If we heed the words of Scripture, saying, "Here I am," is a bold thing for us to do. Samuel's story is no different. After presenting himself three times to Eli when he thought it was the priest who called, God calls out again a fourth time, and this time Samuel responds saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And what follows is a difficult calling, much like the ones given before. The Lord says to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken, says the Lord. I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God." God's word here is a signal for a season of change that will come for the temple and all who worship there. No more will Eli and his family reign as the priests of Yahweh, but Samuel will rise, ushering in a different kind of religious leadership, spending his days traveling around throughout Israel, administering justice and speaking on behalf of God. And you might imagine for the citizens of Israel that this was a bit of a rude awakening. They were used to their priests staying put, neat and tidy in their temple, ignoring the blasphemy and the greed which was running rampant throughout the kingdom. Samuel's arrival in places like Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah might not have been so welcome, seeing as he was calling them to change their ways and to get themselves right with God. It might have been easier for this new priest and prophet to just stay put and to turn a blind eye, as his predecessor had done. It might have been easier for Samuel. It might have been easier for the people. But Samuel had already accepted the difficult task the moment he said, "Here I am. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." There comes a time for each of us who have been called to follow Christ. There comes a time for those of us who have chosen to say yes to that calling when we have to face the difficult reality of what that calling means. The challenges are often as unique as the calls themselves, designed to pull us out of ourselves and into complete faith that God knows what God is doing with and through our lives. Sometimes God calls us to give generously, sharing all that we have with those who are in need. Over and over again, I have seen the members of this congregation step forward in this way, to give food and school supplies and masks and money to meet every need that arrives. God has called us to give. And sometimes God calls us into relationships that we may never have imagined possible. Through ministries like Buddy Break, Together for Hope, Habitat for Humanity, Cedar Point, Welcome House, the Construction Ministry, and so many more, we have built strong connections with people from all walks of life and literally every corner of this world. God calls us into relationship. And sometimes God calls us to be truth tellers, using our voices to advocate for those who have been ignored and oppressed and often even forgotten. Through education efforts like book groups and Wednesday night programs and Sunday school discussions, we have begun to expand our circles intentionally, looking for ways that we might be used as agents of justice and wholeness in this world. Just a few months ago, we took another step forward in this way by creating a special team called the Spirit of Justice to explore and to learn about ways that we can all grow in this regard. These certainly are not easy and comfortable callings all the time, but this is Greystone becoming the church that God has called us to be. Together, we are leaning in to God's collective calling on our lives as we seek to more fully live the gospel of Jesus each and every day in our world. But participating in the church's mission isn't the only way that we are called by God. Each of us individually is called to go and do and become the person that God dreams we could be. In fact, for the church to fully live into our collective calling, it takes each of us being willing to say in our own ways, "Here I am. Speak, Lord." This weekend, we remember a young Baptist preacher who, like Samuel, heard the call of God and recognized that his calling would lead him to create change in some ways that, let's be honest, change wasn't exactly wanted or welcome. Like Samuel taking the priesthood outside of the temple and bringing God's word of judgment and justice into the communities of Israel, Martin Luther King Jr. knew that things needed to change throughout the United States. And he eventually came to understand that God was calling him to be the mouthpiece of that change. In the face of great resistance and leaving behind all that was comfortable, King echoed the words of Samuel, Abraham, Moses, and Isaiah, saying, "Hineni, God, here am I." His commitment to the cause of civil rights and black freedom landed him in jail on more than one occasion. He faced criticism from all directions, even within the church. While he was incarcerated in Birmingham, he wrote a letter responding to a statement made by 8 white clergymen saying that while, yes, racial justice was an issue, there were grave injustices. King and his colleagues should wait for a more convenient time, or that they should let things play out in the courts, rather than continuing their tactics of organized, nonviolent, and peaceful resistance. Thankfully, King did not relent, but he persisted in his work, understanding that his calling was indeed difficult and dangerous and unwelcome, but that it was also God-given. King had already said, "Yes, Lord, here am I," when he stepped into the waters of baptism and declared himself a follower of Jesus. And King said, "Hineni, Lord, your servant is listening," when another more specific calling came for him to join and lead the civil rights movement that was emerging in the 1950s and 60s. King already knew where his identity and allegiance would lie, and so he also knew that he had to stay the course, no matter the cost. Here on this weekend, in which we remember Martin Luther King's life and legacy, it is easy to look back and to celebrate his courage, his dedication, and his prophetic ministry. But it is important also to humbly name that in the moments when things were unfolding, when events were happening, when the movement was underway, good Christian people like you and I were not so sure about him. He made us uncomfortable. And so people like you and I, we often stood in the way, like those 8 Alabama clergymen, asking him to wait for a better time. As we celebrate King's life and legacy this weekend, perhaps we might also celebrate the ways in which Greystone has boldly embraced ministries that others might have seemed too risky or too inconvenient. Considering women for your highest ministerial positions, even as our denomination was splitting over that very issue. Building partnerships and diving in headfirst to embrace immigrants and refugees without first worrying about whether or not their paperwork was in order, but embracing each of them as children of God, worthy of love. Creating a place of respite for our Ready Break VIPs and families, even though it is a huge commitment of time and energy, knowing that God has called us to these specific ministries, and we have said together, here we are. There's no better time than now. As we remember 2 great Americans this weekend, Martin Luther King Jr. and Ruby Nell Bridges, especially in light of the story from 1 Samuel that we read just a few moments ago, we are called to consider our own calling. How is God calling us individually in this specific moment to live our lives for Christ? What is our piece in the God movement that we are called to pick up and carry out? What is the work of love that has been entrusted to us? And are we willing to carry on even when times are tough? Friends, the good news is that God isn't asking us to be Martin or Ruby, but God is calling us to be who God has created us to be. Chrissy, Lou, Terry, Anna, John, Kim, Sandra, James, Kay, Susan, Tim, Pam, Heather, David, Betty, Steve, Linda. I wish I could name us all, because each and every one of us are called beloved children of God, and each and every one of us is being called by God to bring about a little piece of God's kingdom here and now through truth and love, through peace and justice, through humility and forgiveness every day and in our own unique ways. So the only question really is, how will we respond?